You are listening to the Mindfluence Revolution podcast, business breakthroughs for lasting success. Get ready for the intersection of brain science, visionary ideas, and innovative success strategies designed to optimize your business and propel you to the next level of wealth and fulfillment.
And now, here is your host, Dr. Matthew Norton.
According to today's guest, celebration is acknowledging all that is good. The good work that you do, the people that you do it with, the people that you do it for, when your to-do list becomes your done list, and all the little and big milestones along the way. This is Dr. Matthew Norton here with you for another business and life-changing interview on the Mindfluence Revolution podcast. And if you want to be far more successful and enjoy the journey a whole lot more, then I invite you to stop whatever you're doing, unless, of course, you're in the middle of traffic, and get ready for an insightful conversation with motivational humorist and customer experience expert Scott Friedman. And afterwards, I've got your Mindfluence Success Challenge of the Week so that you can begin to kick up your celebration frequency. In Scott's words, if you're too busy to celebrate, you're too busy. I hope that you're not too busy to listen, because here's my conversation with Scott. My guest today is Scott Friedman. Scott is an employee engagement speaker, innovation and customer experience expert, and a motivational humorist. He's also the CCO, the Chief Celebration Officer at Friedman & Associates. Scott spends much of his time speaking around the globe to international clients, including Singapore Airlines, Hyatt Asia, and many Fortune 1000 companies, and provides a global and culturally sensitive perspective on how to get more out of work and life. Scott founded Together We Can Change the World, an organization creating sustainability in children's homes throughout Southeast Asia by providing the poor and neglected with a safe haven and educational opportunities. Scott is the former president of the National Speakers Association, and he's written several books, including Celebrate, Lessons Learned from the World's Most Admired Organizations, Using Humor for a Change, and his newest book, A Celebration a Day, 365 Ways to a Happier, Healthier Workplace. Welcome to the revolution, Scott.
Thanks, Matthew. Great to be with you.
Well, I'm very interested in exploring with you how to incorporate more celebration as a strategic business tool, and also how to effectively use humor for more positive productivity. And first of all, where I'd like to go is, I'm curious, what are your primary duties as the Chief Celebration Officer?
It's very simple, just to keep celebrating.
Yeah. And so there's not a specific celebration to-do list or things you have to check off as part of your duties.
The way we define celebration is that celebration is acknowledging all that is good. So it's acknowledging the good work that you do, the people that you do it with, the people that you do it for. It's when your to-do list becomes your done list. So it's just really acknowledging the good things in life and building from there.
So a chief celebration officer then by definition would have to be that person who is primarily responsible to make sure that those great celebration things are occurring. So you're the leader of a celebratory attitude and level of engagement, I guess.
Right. And making sure that continues in the organization and then spreading that message throughout the world.
I like that. I like that a lot. So I'd love you to share just some of your insights on the importance of celebration in life, but also especially in the workplace. Why is that so important? And maybe what are we missing there?
In the research that we did, we looked at celebration and employee engagement, customer experience in 35 different countries to find out how organizations create better team performance, higher productivity through celebration. And we found that 87% of the folks that we talked to said they don't celebrate enough and they would like more celebration in their life. And the reason that celebration is so important is because it leads to that elusive employee engagement and then which in turn leads to higher productivity and better team performance. So it's just another approach at engaging employees, but it comes from honoring employees, really allowing them to be more self-expressive, tapping into their authenticity. And when employees are allowed to be their authentic selves in the workplace and don't feel that sense of stress or pressure, that's when productivity rises and you get the most innovative and creative ideas from your employees. And that's why it's so important.
And why would you say that we have a culture that has not emphasized that enough, that there is a sense that that's kind of a peripheral element to work accomplishment, and we kind of keep that this division of work and the rest of life separated? Is that part of the mentality?
Yeah, I think what happens is we don't do completion very well in the workplace. So we're so busy with responsibilities and tasks, and even in life for that matter, that instead of when we finish something saying, okay, let's celebrate our accomplishments, let's acknowledge our accomplishments, then we sometimes skip over that step in a hurry to get to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, some organizations do it very well and others don't do it very well, but it's the ones that do it well are the ones that retain employees and the ones that create more engagement. And if you look at the studies, a recent one by the Hay Group, 54, those that are working with companies that engage employees are 54% better at retaining employees, 87% higher customer satisfaction, and 4 times as much revenue growth. So it definitely pays off, but we need to make it more of a habit to create that mm-hmm. celebration mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I agree. I think we tend to get on to next, and the seriousness of business and next seems to lead us to skip those celebrating moments. And it wasn't even related to preparing for our conversation, but just coming across the other day, there's a, I don't know if you're familiar with Teresa Amabile's work. She's a Harvard professor, the studies talked about celebration being one of the key factors that made companies more productive and employees happier, and said that everybody did better even when small victories were celebrated. And it's like, okay, that doesn't seem like a radical insight, but it's like, well, I guess we need research to show that this is not a distraction, but actually something that makes sound business sense.
Right. And that's where you get the buy-in of the C-level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So. Well, so for those people who are listening and that are saying then, okay, so you know, you got me there then. We probably don't have enough celebration. And okay, I can see that could actually be sound for business to shift that, then can you give us a couple, 3 strategies so that maybe we could begin to incorporate that more at work?
Sure. So in the one of the questions that we asked when we did our survey was, what is essential in an organization for celebration to be effective? And 4 things came up: inclusivity, gratitude, play, and surprise, as we break it down to those categories as we pulled in the research. So inclusivity is, it's how can we give our team members a better sense of belonging? Everybody wants to feel part of the team. Everybody wants to feel honored. All right. So we'll look at maybe a few strategies in that. Next is gratitude. You know, just being grateful for the people that we work with and the lives that we have, how to bring more of that into the workplace. Play is being able to let go of all of the resentment or past emotion around what may have happened, get excited about the future, but truly live in the state of flow, being willing to be curious, spontaneous, and playful in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last was surprise, the element of the unexpected. The reason that celebration fails in most organizations today is because it becomes institutionalized, mm-hmm. that we've been doing this for forever. So it can be just simple tools. Like one of my favorites is the difference between deadline and finish line. So instead of calling it a deadline, call it a finish line.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, instead of getting worked up and feeling the pressure and stress as we approach a completion of a project, that we treat it more of as a pep rally and get excited. We focus on getting there and celebrating those milestones along the way. So just the mere fact that it's a finish line changes our attitude toward the task at hand.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, so that would be that would be one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Then the other is, you know, as you look at adding more innovation to the workplace, and how do you really challenge people to take those intelligent risks and empower them to go off on their own? What if we created in an organization a celebration around making mistakes? So we had some fun examples that came in for the first book, Celebrate Lessons Learned from the World's Most Admired Organization. One was a sales organization that the sales manager, every sales meeting, would put a $50 bill on the conference table, and she would share a mistake that she had made since the last time they met. And then she would tell the lesson that she learned from that mistake. Then every sales agent would take a turn sharing a mistake they made, a lesson they learned, and whoever made the biggest mistake, learned the greatest lesson, would take the $50. And then
that's great.
If you won three times in a row, you were fired. Too much.
Just kidding. Yeah, you have to rein it back in here a little bit. You're getting too into the game.
we practice here that another example that we've incorporated here is what's called Wine Wow and Wine Friday. So you start off with beverage of choice, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's celebrate what good things happened during the week. So then we pick one specific. Everybody gets a chance to share one idea, the one good thing that happened during the week, and we celebrate that. And then the wine piece of it is what didn't work so well. What did we learn from something that we did that, you know, we could have done different, and how would we do it different? And then that way we celebrate, because we learn more from our mistakes, it seems, than the things that go well. So we continue to learn, but we celebrate what's good, and then we celebrate the lessons of learning along the way as well.
So people are encouraged then to take risks, so that and that it's okay to take them and to make mistakes or to seemingly quote unquote fail. So rather than everybody feeling like that's not okay and I'm going to be punished, or there's some sort of negative reinforcement there. So now you're providing that opportunity for people to go for it and to take more initiative probably in that regard, and to have that be okay, that that's actually being celebrated. I like that.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as they're intelligent risks, but you bet you're going to be supported in taking those risks. And then, you know, what do we learn from them?
So there's some structured celebration elements, I guess, that can be built into a daily or weekly routine. When I, you know, as you mentioned about gratitude, for example, and I'm picturing that not always being expressed, or sometimes people say, no, I'm grateful for the people I have here, but one wouldn't know it. Are you encouraging structured methods, I guess, to be able to make sure these things get implemented? Or are you also at the same time trying to have a degree of spontaneity of helping people simply be more communicative of some of these positive things like gratitude?
Actually, both. I mean, exactly. You want to build in some things that help create that ongoing celebration mentality. And at the same time, if you can do those in a way that's spontaneous, all the better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one fun way that does both of those things is a post-it party. So let's say it's you're celebrating a tenure of an employee, or you finish a big project. They go out to lunch. You say, okay, you have 5 minutes or even 3 minutes. Here's a post-it pad and a colorful pen. Write as many nice things as you can on these post-its, and then we'll post it in their workspace. Hey, thanks for always having a great attitude. Post. Thanks for honoring the no nudity policy in the office. Post. Thanks for covering your mouth when you sneeze. Post. And just post as many things. And then when they come back, then they read all of these post-its and have a real sense of a sense of pride, belonging, you know, just a nice celebratory feeling of people care about them. So that could be a surprise and something that you do once in a while. Avera. I just had a chance to speak in South Dakota with Avera Healthcare, and one of the things that they do is on the desk of the HR director, what's called a jar of awesomeness.
Okay.
And anybody can put anything in there that they want that represents acts of awesomeness. When you finish a project or you want to praise somebody, and you want to just acknowledge something that went well or a risk taken. And then what they do is they put those in their internal easing, as well as at company meetings, they'll pick a few out of there, they'll read them, and they'll give prizes. So they're constantly encouraging people to put things in there, and then they're rewarded in different ways from that jar of awesomeness.
That's great. Have you had feedback from people at points, whether it's probably more commonly leadership, that would say, okay, so, but isn't that a little bit too silly? Isn't that, or that doesn't fit our culture because we're just not like that. That's, we don't really play like that here. Have you received some of that?
Sure. Especially I spent a lot of time in Asia, and it seems more of an American item of culture as opposed to even in Asia. But, and that's why, you know, some of this is going to be a little uncomfortable at first, and you have to adapt the different rituals that fit the culture. But the goal is to, you know, open yourself up to asking the questions, how can we make this more fun? How can we enjoy more what we do here? So if you look at, you know, the latest book, you have 365 different ideas. I mean, some of these are going to fit your culture. Some of these are going to be, you know, take that first step to risk, to honor your employees in a different way than you're used to. So it's like learning anything. At first, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. And then once we get used to it, then we think, wow, you know, we should have been doing this a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. And I bet it's just, you know, these are things that can be neurological. These are new neurological pathways to get laid down, because I think just like they say that when people give reviews on things, they have a customer experience, something that they feel inclined to say something about, it's much more likely they'll do it if it's negative. I think that this is very helpful because it encourages that part of us that's less likely to express, which is to say kind, to be vulnerable enough, I guess, is part of it. Part of it maybe as well, we're being too serious, we have focused outcomes. But the other part is the vulnerability, I think, of expressing something that's more loving, more positive, more sensitive, as though somehow maybe what, we're going to be rejected, or it's going to come across too awkwardly strange or not be well received. I mean, what do you think along those lines?
Yeah, I think vulnerability is a big key to making this work, is to, especially if it's not in your DNA, to reach out and honor people in this way. But I think when we're willing to be more vulnerable, then we're more authentic, and then we're more humble, which I think are three very important things in the workplace. So I think you're right on with being open to that vulnerability. And then when we're vulnerable, then we can create more of that sense of surprise, because we're willing to experiment and we're willing to take those risks.
Yeah. And I'm thinking too about how this spills over to home. Once I'm imagining that you have seen or had people report to you improved home outcomes because of that greater work celebration focus, because I'm thinking that how many marriages are there, how many home environments where they're devoid of celebration, where there's not enough positive expression. So it seems like if that can get trained a bit more into the work culture, I mean, it could start at either side and spill over the other way. But if our focus is on a work environment here, do you see that? Do you have people tell you that about home being better?
No question. When we talk about surprise, I tell the story of the first year I was working with a lady that's now worked with me for over 25 years, Nancy McGraw. And we sat down and we said, how can we better serve our customers? And how can we better serve one another? And we came up with job descriptions, which were the same for each other, to create each other's perfect world. And so my perfect world revolves around more joy, less hassle. because I think most of ours do in a certain way. And hers revolved around her son, David. She wanted to spend more time with him. So as David got older and went off to college, I knew that if I really wanted to make Nancy happy, I would surprise her by involving David in the equation. So for her 50th birthday, David called a couple weeks before and said, Mom, I'm not going to be able to make it home for your big birthday. I'm sorry, but I have a test and I can't make it up, so I'll make it up to you later. She was disappointed, but she understood. But morning of her 50th birthday, the phone rings. She thinks it's a client. I pick it up. October 23rd, can you hold on a minute? Nancy, can you do me a favor? Can you run to the trunk of my car and grab my road calendar out? So she had done this before. My car's right outside. She runs outside, opens up the trunk, and there's David in the trunk. Surprise! And once we revived her, she was pretty close to her.
Hopefully, you didn't have to get the paddles out or anything. Yeah,
exactly. So then a lady came up to me after I told that story at the end of the program, and she said, you know, she said, I've been married for close to 20 years, and I just realized that for those 20 years, we've been living my perfect world, not his perfect world. In fact, to be honest, I don't even know what his perfect world is because we've been so focused on me, and I feel ashamed of that. And so right. I mean, I think it can start at work and can start at home, but that whole element of surprise, you know, what's highest on people's joy list? What are people most passionate about? And it's easier today to find that out just by browsing a Facebook wall or looking at photos on Instagram. And, you know, so we can, or just simply asking, then we can find out, you know, what creates joy in people's lives. And then how can we surprise them with a little bit more of that in the workplace and even easier at home, I would imagine.
Yeah. I think that's a great focus. I mean, it just makes me think about being less selfish, about just the fact that it's transcendent of self enough to look at the other and see what would be surprising to them, or what can I find to express a positive bit of encouragement or gratitude. So I think the, regardless of even some of the specifics of this, the general mindset or inclination towards this has to be incredibly positive. Yeah. Throughout many people's life, through an organization, but through just the lives of people. I think we desperately need more of this.
Exactly.
I'm glad that you're doing this, actually. I'm glad that this is a focus.
It's a lot of fun, too. I spoke in Sri Lanka recently, and I checked into the hotel. I go to my room, and there's a framed picture on the bedside table, and it looked rather familiar, and I walked over, and it was actually a photo of me and eight kids from a children's home that we built in Wong Papau, Thailand, that they had taken off of our Facebook page. And and knowing that that was important to me, and there it was halfway around the world. And I thought, wow, how cool is that? That,
you know,
I mean, first of all, it's kind of like, do-do-do-do-do-do.
Right. Rod Serling was over in the corner. And
but then, you know, it's so easy. You know, you talk about surprise and how we can make such a difference. I have a chance to interview three or four times now. The company that wins the prize for surprise is called the Royal Plaza. They're a hotel in Singapore, Royal Plaza on Scotts. And they do such a great job of surprising their employees and their customers. But they, if they're celebrating anything special, they look for ways to surprise those guests. So they have they send you a confirmation email, which is a little box that says, are you celebrating something special or is there something we can do for you? So people will write crazy things in that box. Like one guy wrote in and says, hey, your laundry prices are too high. It takes, I can buy underwear cheaper than it costs to clean them at your hotel. So when he checked into the hotel, he walked into his bathroom and there was a pair of boxers for every day of the week. and then a note reminding them of that, what he'd written in the box, because, you know, people are pretty spontaneous, whatever they put in there.
Right.
But, you know, what a great way to create customer connection is just by paying attention, asking the questions. And then, and I was talking to the director of branding and marketing for the Royal Plaza, and I said, you know, because they shared so many different clever ideas. I go, do you guys ever work? Is that all you do, is And she said, it's amazing. She said, when it becomes a habit to think in those terms, when you really truly have that celebration mentality and what I call having your GPS, gratitude, play, and surprise turned on, your mind just works that way. She said, we can sit in a meeting and just start chatting about different things, and we'll come up with five different customers. And in 7 minutes, we have all the ideas that we need and how we're going to implement the ideas. So it really is just a matter of training your mind to turn on the positivity, to look for the good in situations, to come from a little bit more of a place of surprise and then gratitude and be open to the play. And it's amazing how you can turn your life around that way.
And then I like your GPS navigation system way that you've expressed as far as the gratitude play and surprise. So I guess the GPS just starts getting more set towards these outcomes when you really start to give it energy like that.
Exactly. It becomes part of your makeup. And that's why you look at a company like Ritz-Carlton, who any Ritz-Carlton around the world, they start off a very shift in every department with what's called a lineup. And they share a wow moment or a good letter they've received, some kind of service reminder that they've done a great job, so that it continues to instill in their mind what it means to give great service. So it becomes second nature. And so even if you didn't know what it was before, after a while, it does become part of your DNA.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So for anybody who's listening that's saying, okay, I'm understanding this more, but I'm still struggling with how this relates to enhancing business, which maybe they shouldn't be still saying that, but if they are, you talk about the celebrate mindset, and that's S-E-L-L-E-brate, and its ability to generate new clients, keep existing ones engaged. Maybe you can speak to that for a couple minutes.
Well, it just goes back to really honoring who your employees are and who your customers are. So it's, you know, when we have that sense of belonging, when we feel like people truly are tapping into what we're passionate about, they care about our values, that they honor the diversity in people, then it creates that connection. And whether you're talking to a customer, trying to build a relationship, or it's an internal customer where you're just trying to form a better relationship with employees, that mentality will serve you well. It's just coming from a place of not being self-absorbed, asking, what do they want from this situation? Who are they? What is their pain? And just creating more self-awareness about what's around us and caring a little bit more and coming from that creating other people's perfect world point of view, then good things happen.
So kind of like the fact that this becomes a real connection, a focus on connecting better, listening better, caring more. These become connection points that people probably increasingly in our age seriously need, and people respond to that. So it's going to help the bottom line in terms of drawing and attracting new people, but also having those people that are existing clients or patients or customers that they're a part of something. They feel like they're a part of something that is for them, not just for whoever's selling them something. Is that part of what you're saying?
Exactly. One good implementation of that or manifestation is start the day with 10 pennies in your left pocket. And every time you say something nice, you honor somebody in some way, one penny moves from the left pocket to the right pocket. Every time you're negative, you say no, or you talk about why something can't work, you put somebody down, it goes from the right pocket to the left pocket. So the goal is by the end of the day to get 10 pennies from your left pocket to your right pocket. And you realize that, the workplace in most cases is fairly negative. And until you recognize that and you realize the cost of disengagement because of a negative workplace, how can we change that? And that's one simple way to acknowledge that. Then I tell people in my seminars, I said, okay, in this case, if you're getting near the end of the day and you still have 8 pennies in your left pocket, then a nice smile, just a genuine eye communication smile, you can transfer one from the left to the right. So by the end of the day, you can set yourself up for success by transferring them all, but you have to go around and people wonder what you're up to. You're smiling all the time.
Right. That kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you know Dr. Catherine Kramer, but she talks about asset-based thinking versus deficit-based thinking, and the fact that we tend to be 80-20 in our daily life in terms of focusing on deficit, and that just needs to be flipped. There's value in focusing on deficit to some degree and making shifts and change and seeing what's not working right, but much more focus on what is working right, which would then spill over to all the people that you're celebrating with. Yeah, I like that. It makes me think about it. So before we're out of time, I want to give just a little bit of attention to using humor for a change. I like that you say the highest form of humor is the ability to laugh at ourselves, which I think is a great starting place. But talk to us a little bit about the value of it. I know it's going to be related to celebration, but the value of more humor in that workplace, and maybe some strategies for tapping into the benefits of that.
So in GPS, the play, it starts with having a good sense of humor. So, it's being open to the craziness or the spontaneity of the moment. So, and then from there, we can create these play rituals that allow people the opportunity to be in a state of flow. So what are those humor rituals look like? You know, what can we do first ask ourselves the question, okay, how can we make this more fun? I mean, how can we laugh more when we're doing this? And then that's after we've bought into, yeah, we want to make it more fun. So first question, do you want to have more fun? Sure. The studies show that when you're having more fun, you're actually more productive. People open to that. So then how can we make it more fun? How can we bring more humor in? And the easiest way is to look for some of these play rituals that open ourselves up to this. Mm-hmm. What if you had to sing your complaints?
There would some people who would stop or they would be praying that they would. There'd be people go, no, you can't have any more.
How about a positive party funded by negative people? So every time you're caught being negative, and you can call each other on this, it costs you $2, which goes into a positive kitty. And when you collect 40 or 50 bucks, you have a wine and cheese party. Positive party funded by negative people. So it's creating ways to have a little bit more fun, to exercise your sense of humor, but at the same time, you're really looking at very powerful principles that help create a more positive environment. That's what you're doing there.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It was transformational for me in my practice because in my work I was doing open room adjusting. And so when I reached a point of being able to allow myself to be more fully myself, which was engaging with much more humor and being there's moments where there is serious things to attend to, but to where as much as possible that the ease of humor was expressed, and it would get volleyed around. It would start an infectious energy of that positive ease with humor. And I think that was a big part of why people wanted to be there. They wanted a service engagement. They wanted an outcome, but part of it was the value of the experience. So I think that when you can bring humor like that, I mean, it changes the tone. It makes the experience so much more pleasant.
No question.
Yeah.
One of my favorite rituals is a re-gifting party. You talk about it, it kind of builds on itself where the certain rituals will keep on in the workplace. But if you start with the re-gifting party, so it's a simple thing that you don't want anybody to go buy anything. They have to go to their house and find something that they've picked up on a trip somewhere, and they just throw it in a plastic bag or a paper bag. You can't wrap it. And then all kinds of different ways to where you can come in the next day, 3 o'clock, and say, okay, we're now going to share these ideas. So the person whose birthday is closest maybe can pick first, and or somebody that's done something good, or you vote on it, or whatever. You know, the old Chinese auction where the first person can, or the next person can take the first person's gift. Mm-hmm. But then just the craziest stuff, the old singing fish that, you know, maybe you bought years ago, or a chia pet, or but those things then take on a life of their own. Then the next time you do a regifting party, you see those things show up again, and it just creates a lot of laughter and a lot of camaraderie. People look forward to those kind of things, but that's what you're trying to do. And to speak to your point, you're right.
Yeah, camaraderie. I think that's good. I like that word for expressing some of what's valuable to happen as a result of that. The shared laughing together as a shared experience, I think, really does build camaraderie. So I think that's a great focus. Well, I can't believe our time's already finished, but I really, this has been fun, Scott. I really enjoyed your insights, but also just a fun discussion of ways to make this whole work and life journey and experience more pleasant and more productive as a result of that. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, and thanks for your insights. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell our listeners how they can learn more about your work and get in touch with you.
Scott Friedman, ScottFriedman.net. Or Together We Can Change the World, if you're interested in finding more about that, is TWCCTW.org.
Okay. That's wonderful. Well, I encourage everybody to check out your books, and let's collectively make a plan to be celebrating more and getting the pennies over to the other side of the other pocket. I think that's I like that. I think I'm going to start collecting my pennies if I still can find any. So awesome. Well, I thank you again for your time. And along with my guest, Scott Friedman, this is Dr. Matthew Norton, and you are listening to the Mindfluence Revolution podcast.
This is Dr. Norton back with you, and I hope that you're ready to set your GPS for more gratitude, play, and surprise after hearing my interview with Scott Friedman. Now, here's our Mindfluence Success Challenge for this week. I want to invite you, in fact, strongly encourage you, to make a commitment right now to celebrate more often with your team and your clients. What sort of creative ways can you devise to better celebrate small wins? How can you turn work moments into more play moments, even if you're in an environment involving serious work, or maybe even more so because there are serious things happening around you? Consider the 2010 Berkeley research study on celebratory touch on sports teams, like high fives, head slaps, half hugs, chest punches, which showed that the teams that touched the most also cooperated the most and also won the most. So what can you appropriately incorporate from this insight? Secondly, I challenge you to take more unselfish risks by expressing gratitude more often. Select someone every day and give them this gift. And lastly, we can all get stuck in routine patterns. Surprise the people around you, at least periodically, with a positive, out-of-the-box experience. And as always, we'd love to hear what you come up with. If you've achieved a degree of business success and you're ready to break free from some stuck patterns and develop some entrepreneurial time freedom, then check out our new 360-degree business diagnosis and liberation blueprint program. We'd love to connect with you on a free strategy call to see how we might help. To schedule that conversation, just go to meetme.so/mindfluencerevolution. meetme.so/mindfluencerevolution. Thank you for listening and for being a part of our Mindfluence Revolution mission to liberate, inspire, and equip leaders and their teams to make a greater difference in the world. We'd love your help by sharing our podcast with the leaders you know. In closing, consider these words from Scott. It's not happiness that makes us grateful, but gratefulness that makes us happy. Once again, I encourage you to join Bruce and me next week for more insights and action strategies to take your business and your life to the next level of success and fulfillment. This is Dr. Matthew Norton, and you've been listening to the Mindfluence Revolution podcast.